Welcome to Transformed by Grace, an in-depth Bible study of God's Word presented by the Berean Bible Society. Join us each time on this station as Pastor Kevin brings the transforming message of God's grace revealed through the Holy Scriptures.
Drug squad officer stopped at a farm and talked with an old farmer. He told the farmer, "I need to inspect your farm for illegally grown drugs." The farmer said, "Okay, but don't go in that field over there," as he pointed out the location. The drug squad officer verbally exploded, saying, "Mister, I have the authority of the government with me." Reaching into his rear trouser pocket, he removed his badge and proudly displayed it to the farmer, and said, "See this badge? This badge means I'm allowed to go wherever I wish on any land, no questions asked or answers given. Have I made myself clear? Do you understand?" The old farmer nodded politely, apologized, and went about his chores. A short time later, the old farmer heard loud screams, looked up, saw the officer running for his life, being chased by the farmer's big, ferocious-looking bull. With every step, the bull was gaining ground on the officer, and it seemed likely and sure he'd get gored before he reached safety. The officer was clearly terrified. The old farmer threw down his tools, ran to the fence, shouted at the top of his lungs, "Your badge! Show him your badge!" That bull was not under the law, and he did not respect that badge. And today, we are not under the law of Moses because God changed his dealings with mankind. To properly understand God's Word, we must mark and note the changes in God's dispensations. Understanding the Bible dispensationally is key to its correct interpretation and application, and knowing what God is doing today. In doing so, this brings peace and joy to our lives as we live according to God's direct will for us under grace, and by the promises and instruction written to us, the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians 3:1-2 says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you." Paul teaches here that a dispensation of God's grace had been given to him directly by Christ. A dispensation has been defined as a stage in the progressive revelation of God, constituting a distinctive stewardship or rule of life. The term dispensation is translated from the Greek word oikonomia. Oikos means house and nomos means law. When you put this Greek term together, it means house law or house management. So the term dispensation speaks of the rule of a household. Every household has rules. As children grow up, they know that there are rules for their home. The rules in one house may differ from those in another home. Some rules might be similar or even the same, but what's important is that the children obey and abide by the rules of their own home. Throughout history, for each dispensation, through a specific revelation, God dispensed a new set of house rules that needed to be followed and were the responsibility of those who lived under them to carry out and obey. Some of the house rules in the dispensation were similar. However, if new instructions were given that differed from a previous dispensation, people were responsible for carrying out the instructions within the dispensation under which they were currently living. Take food, for example. At first, in the dispensation of innocence, God gave instructions to Adam and Eve regarding what they could eat. God commanded Adam and Eve to be vegetarians and that they could eat herbs and fruits only. This instruction to Adam and Eve to eat only herbs and fruits stood for approximately 1,500 years. However, as you move forward, God revealed His will and changed something. Following the worldwide flood, as the dispensation of human government began, God commanded Noah that he could eat any and every kind of moving, living thing, along with vegetables and fruit. God added meat, fowl, and fish to the vegetables and fruit that man was already allowed to eat, and this stood for about 1,000 years. Later still, God revealed the law to Moses, and within the dispensation of the law, God revealed to Moses that only certain animals, certain birds and seafood were allowed to be eaten. Some were clean and could be eaten. Others were unclean and were forbidden. This instruction to Moses stood for about 1,500 years. Then God revealed to the Apostle Paul His will and instructions for the dispensation of grace. And it was revealed to Paul that all animals, birds, seafood, are permitted by the Lord to be eaten as food. Nothing is forbidden. We may freely eat all things. For the past 2,000 years, this has been true and remains true to this moment. It is impossible to obey all these different commands at the same time. So it's imperative to determine which commands God would have us obey today. Many mistakenly attempt to live by the instructions meant for a different time and for another people within a previous dispensation. This leads to a misapplication of God's word to their lives. Like with the subject of food within the dispensations, other commands were given which were valid at the time given, but are not for us today. All Scripture is profitable. All Scripture is for our learning. But not all Scripture is for our direct obedience today. You can see the word dispense in the word dispensation. In God's Word, it can be demonstrated that at different times in history, God dispensed to mankind a distinct administration and stewardship, which then became man's house rules. This was what was to govern mankind to turn from sin and unrighteousness and to live for God. God in His nature and attributes never changes. However, without in any way affecting His unchanging character, at different times and stages in history, according to His will, God's methods of dealing with mankind changed, and God dispensed to mankind a new, different, and distinct rule of life. And I'd like to demonstrate that in the remainder of this message. The following is a dispensational chart that illustrates the order in which the dispensations were revealed in God's Word. There are varying opinions about this, but I believe that the Scriptures fall into 8 dispensations. First, innocence. Second, conscience. Third, human government. Fourth, promise. Fifth, law. Sixth, grace. Seventh, kingdom. And 8, the fullness of times. Examining Scripture through the lens of the dispensations provides a comprehensive view of God's plans and purposes for mankind and for both heaven and the earth. The course of each dispensation follows the same pattern. First, God dispenses and makes known His will to man. Second, man is responsible to obey God's will. Third, we see man's failure. And fourth, God judges and His judgment is carried out. First, there was the dispensation of innocence. After man was created, God dealt with man in his innocence. Man did not know good from evil. He knew only good. God dispensed to man that his responsibility was to care for the garden, to be fruitful and multiply, and to abstain from partaking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God warned of the punishment of death for disobedience. Man's failure came when Adam and Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, resulting in the entrance of sin and death. Man was no longer perfect and innocent after the fall. God's judgment was to pronounce the curse and banish Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. Second came the dispensation of conscience, with the entrance of sin when Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They then became aware of good and evil, and thus God dispensed conscience. Conscience was to govern man now, knowing right from wrong, having the inner sense of guilt that fell upon man when he did sin or contemplated doing wrong, was to be a deterrent to keep man from sin and unrighteousness. From the basis of one's conscience, God's will for man was for him to make proper moral judgments, and his responsibility was to do good and refrain from evil. Man's failure came when violence filled the earth and man refused to heed their conscience. During this dispensation, man became so wicked that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God's judgment of the violence that filled the earth was a flood that completely engulfed the earth, a worldwide flood. Third came the dispensation of human government. Because of the violence and bloodshed that had prevailed before the flood, God next dispensed human government. To deter sin and wickedness, God dispensed that man was now to govern, putting into the hands of man the responsibility to establish and enforce laws that are in accordance with his righteous standard and to punish the evildoers. God put the responsibility for capital punishment in man's hands, as he told Noah following the flood, "Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man." Man was given the right and authority by God to make judgments and to inflict punishment when laws concerning evil and wickedness were not obeyed. God also dispensed that his will was that man should be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth following the flood. Man's failure came when they became lifted up with pride and they united together and they desired to make a name for themselves, and they built the Tower of Babel, doing so in defiance against God's will for man to fill the earth. God's judgment was to confuse their language and scatter mankind all over the world. Fourth came the dispensation of promise. After God scattered people all over the world and they became their own nations, God raised up a nation. And out of the dispersed descendants of the builders of Babel, God called one man, Abram. God dispensed a promise to Abram that he would make of him a great nation, and all families of the earth would be blessed through his seed. God promised Abraham a great land, all of the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, or the promised land. God dispensed that circumcision was mandatory as a seal of the covenant made with Abraham. Abraham's descendants were responsible to obey that and to trust God to fulfill his promise. Man's failure came when Abraham's descendants continually failed to trust God and they forsook the land of promise when Jacob and his family moved to Egypt and stayed there. God's judgment was to allow Israel to become slaves in Egypt and to remain there for 400 years. Fifth came the dispensation of the law. After God powerfully and miraculously delivered Israel from Egypt, he dispensed the law to Moses at Mount Sinai to give to Israel. God revealed to Israel that she was responsible to keep all of it, all 613 commandments of His law. God gave Israel His righteous standard to follow and for His law to govern their lives. Under this conditional covenant, the blessings of God were realized if Israel obeyed and kept the law, but if they disobeyed God's law, they were cursed. Man's failure came from their unbelief, their breaking and forsaking of the law, their murmuring and their idol worship. God's judgment in this dispensation came in the form of the Assyrian captivity, which resulted in the 10 northern tribes being taken away out of the land. Later, the Babylonian captivity, which resulted in the exile of the 2 southern tribes. Under the law, Israel rejected God the Father through their idolatry and their desire for a king to rule over them. When Christ came to Israel and ministered to her under the law, they rejected God's Son and had Him crucified. And after the Spirit came to Israel at Pentecost, they rejected the ministry of the Holy Spirit and stoned a man full of the Spirit, Stephen, with their own hands. And that was 3 strikes and you're out. The entire Godhead had been rejected by Israel, and God's judgment was set to fall. Next on God's timetable, according to prophecy, was the judgment of Daniel's 70th week, followed by the dispensation of the kingdom. But God had a secret. Instead of bringing in the judgment of the 7-year tribulation period, followed by the 1,000-year kingdom, God temporarily suspended His program with Israel, set Israel aside in unbelief, began a dispensation that had been hidden in the mind and heart of God. Sixth is the dispensation of grace. The dispensation of grace was an absolute secret, kept secret since the world began. It was never prophesied or foretold. With Israel set aside in unbelief, God in His grace turned to the nations to have a program with the Gentiles. Thus, God raised up the chief of sinners, Paul, saved him by His grace, and called him to be the apostle of the Gentiles. To Paul, Christ revealed this dispensation of grace. To him was made known the message of grace and the will of God for this dispensation. To Paul was revealed the new creation that was brought into existence for this dispensation, called the church, the body of Christ, made up of all who believe the gospel of the grace of God, both Jew and Gentile. The dispensation of grace is the dispensation in which we currently live. And being called the dispensation of the grace of God teaches that grace is the house rule for today. Grace is what governs mankind in this age, and by grace is how we are to live. Grace reigns in God's dealings with man today, and Paul describes grace today as reigning on a throne as king. Romans 5:20-21 states, "But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." Today, we are called by God to live according to His grace instruction for this dispensation found in the writings of Paul. Christ made known to Paul that this dispensation will close with a previously unrevealed event, the rapture, the catching away of the body of Christ to heaven before Israel's 7-year tribulation period ever begins. This dispensation began with grace, with an appearance of Christ from heaven to save Paul on the road to Damascus. And it closes with grace and an appearance of Christ from heaven at the rapture to catch us away to heaven. Man's failure has come from their rejection of the simple gospel of grace and the church's refusal to acknowledge or stand for Paul's apostleship and message of grace committed to him for us, the church, today. God's judgment will come to believers from this dispensation in the form of loss of reward at the judgment seat of Christ. And to unbelievers of this dispensation, God's judgment will be revealed at the great white throne. Seventh is the dispensation of the kingdom. Following the rapture of the body of Christ, God will resume his dealings with Israel, and he will literally fulfill everything he promised her. The next thing on the prophetic timetable is the time of Jacob's trouble, when God will dispense his wrath on this world in the seven-year tribulation. God's wrath will be poured out through the seal, the trumpet, and the bowl judgments. At that time, Satan will attempt to counterfeit the worldwide kingdom of Christ through his Antichrist, and he will have one for a short period of 3.5 years. But the Antichrist worldwide empire will be utterly overthrown at the second coming of Christ, and Satan will be cast into the bottomless pit for the 1,000-year kingdom. The true Christ will then establish his perfect worldwide earthly kingdom, and God will dispense the kingdom of heaven on this earth. In the dispensation of the kingdom, Christ will reign as king over all the earth for 1,000 years. Justice and righteousness will fill the world, and there will be peace on earth. Israel will be the light to the world and a kingdom of priests. As priests, she will have the responsibility of leading the nations in worship of the true and the living God. Man's failure will come when, at the close of the millennial kingdom, Satan will be loosed from the bottomless pit, and he will deceive the unbelieving who were born during the kingdom. He will raise an army in number like the sand of the sea in rebellion against Jesus Christ. They will come up and surround the capital city of the earth, Jerusalem. And at the battle of Gog and Magog, God's judgment will be poured out when fire rains down from God out of heaven and destroys and consumes this great army. And Satan is then cast into the lake of fire forever. Eighth is the dispensation of the fullness of times. Following the battle of Gog and Magog, when all the unbelieving have died, is the great white throne. All the unbelieving from all dispensations will appear at the great white throne. They will be judged according to their sinful works and then cast into the lake of fire forever. And God will then dispense the fullness of times, or the eternal state. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem will descend from heaven to the new earth. Believing Israel will reign in Christ on earth, as Ephesians 1:10 says, or on the new earth, in the new Jerusalem, for all eternity. For us, the church, the body of Christ, we will reign in Christ in heaven for all eternity. In the dispensation of the fullness of times, Christ will be over all those in heaven, over all those on earth, and all will be one in Christ forever. We will all serve the Lord and worship Him with gladness for eternity. We will experience joy, peace, goodness, and love in Christ forever. And man will never fail God again. Mankind has been given so many opportunities, and every dispensation demonstrates man's failure and man's deep need for God and for His forgiveness and righteousness. When man stands before Christ one day to be judged by Him at the great white throne, every single argument will be dismissed. In the fallen nature, man likes to play the blame game. And the Lord will likely use the dispensations to demonstrate His righteousness. If any man would try to say to the Lord, if you had created me innocent, I would have obeyed you. I would have never failed you or turned from you. And Christ will point to the testimony of Adam and Eve in the dispensation of innocence. If anyone would try to say, if you had told me what exactly you expected out of me and given me your righteous standard for me to live by and guide me, I would have followed it step by step and I would have done what was right. And Christ will point to the testimony of Scripture of man under the law and his utter failure to keep the law. If anyone would try to say, if you would have made the gospel of salvation simple and let me live in freedom and grace, I would have believed. I would have served you. He would point to the dispensation of grace and how man has failed in this dispensation. Or if man would say, if you would have let me live in a perfect world of peace, justice, equity, and abundance with you reigning over it, I would have turned to you. And Christ will point to the dispensation of the kingdom and show man's failure at that time too. On that day, all will be left without excuse. Mankind is responsible for obeying the will of God under the particular dispensation in which they are living. We live during the dispensation of grace, and we have a responsibility to respond to God's will for us under grace. First, we must respond to the truth that we are saved by God's grace alone, just believing that Christ died for our sins and rose again. After trusting the gospel of grace, we are then called to respond to God's grace instruction for the church today, which is found in Paul's letters, and to live by it by faith. As we do this, we will properly apply God's word to our lives, and we will be the people of grace who glorify God's grace in His current dispensation.
Thank you again for tuning in to Transformed by Grace. We appreciate your prayer support and the financial gifts. The purpose and mission of the Berean Bible Society is to help you understand the whole counsel of the Word of God. For more information, visit our website at www.bereanbiblesociety.org or give us a call at 262-255-4750. Or if you prefer, write us at the Berean Bible Society. Now, until next time, may you be transformed by God's grace.